At a time when so many of us are overwhelmed, Dr. Mukta Panda has a story to share. She is a professor and assistant dean for well-being and medical student education at the University of Tennessee College of Medicine at Chattanooga. Her recent book is Resilient Threads, Weaving Joy and Meaning into Well-Being. It's a memoir by a physician about the struggles of physicians as fellow human beings, but its message is for all of us. Dr. Panda, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ray. Thank you for this opportunity.
What are you hearing from fellow physicians as we're dealing with what we're dealing with now?
So my phone and my emails are just nonstop. And what we are hearing and which resonates with me is the feeling of the unknown, the feeling of fear, the feeling of what if, what am I going to do if, what's going to happen tomorrow, how many patients are there, will we survive this, what will happen to my mother who is supposed to be on chemotherapy, I feel useless at home, I want to go and help, you know, our students are not in classes these days and they are, Dr. Panda, how can I help, what can I do? I've never taken care of these critically ill patients. This is not my comfort zone. Will I be able to do this? So I think these are the uncertainties and fears. And one thing that somebody mentioned to me, I've not been trained for this. This is foreign to me. How can I train myself? I personally am a mother. I have four children. Two of them are in New York who are quarantined in their homes, and two of them are in Boston. Both of them in Boston are in the medical field. My son is a surgery resident and was called to go on extra coverage the other day. And it hit home. It hit home. You know, I didn't feel the same anxiety for myself as I felt it. So I think our nurses, our doctors going out to work have their loved ones. So I'm feeling that anxiety is palpable. My dear, dear elderly neighbor, I got a call at 4:30 in the morning that her husband was having a stroke. We had to call EMS and send him to the hospital, and she can't be with him. So these are other realities. What if I never see him again? I don't know. I feel terrible about the mean things I said. So these are things that I'm hearing.
What are some of the threads that you keep coming back to, coming out of the book and also dealing with what we're all dealing with now?
I keep coming back to my thread of what core is, and I write about that. I got this concept of thread through a poem, which I really, really like. It's called The Way It Is by William Stafford. And he talks about a thread, and he talks about how the world around us changes. Everything changes, but this thread never changes. And if you hold on to this thread, your core and you will be okay. I had tried to unpack my life around the thread, but I realized it was not just one thread. There were multiple threads. And these threads are knotted and they are silken and they are coarse and they are frayed at the bottom. But it's a beautiful tapestry on the top. So my three main threads, comprised of all these threads, are rituals, reflection, and relationships. So this is what I keep coming back to. And this is what I try to encourage my family, friends, students, that this is probably that will help us walk through this journey. I've done this throughout my journey in my different roles and try to do it even more meaningfully now for myself and others. So the ritual starts with self and others. One of the rituals is getting up in the morning with the right attitude. I always try to smile intentionally as soon as I get up and offer thanks. Thanks to the universe. Thanks to my faith, which is the core thread of mine, and say a prayer thanking for the day and think about the three good things that are going to happen to me today. I embody them, and I think attitudes are contagious. I have to remind myself, who am I going to take to the world today? Who am I taking to work today? I'm not somebody who can sit in meditation and do yoga. My yoga is walking and really trying to focus on the positive during that time. Nowadays, I'm telling my students and friends, you know what? Send a lot of loving kindness to yourself and the universe. For example, we are supposed to wash our hands for 20 seconds or sanitize our hands, and we are doing that so many times. Intentionally now, every time I do that, I give myself courage, say good things, and I tell the students, think about that. Try to take big, deep breaths if that is your way of calming yourself. And as you're exhaling out, go ahead and exhale out all your tensions and fears. I used to do this, what I used to call the doorknob sign. When I used to knock at the door, I used to make myself a reminder that this is not a heart failure patient, or this is not a pneumonia patient. This is Mr. Jones, who is a grandfather and had his grandchildren in the room the other day. So the other thing I try to do every day with the ritual is celebrate the positive. We are our worst critics in life. So pat ourselves on the back, and I think that helps break the vicious cycle of perfectionism that we think about it. And another big one is happy thoughts. This is a mantra that I grew up with, given to me by my daughter when she was merely in the sixth grade, and that's on my stethoscope on the book. The stethoscope was given to me by my residents because with happy thoughts engraved on it, because I say happy thoughts all the time. But we all need our happy place. Nowadays, I find myself slipping into that fear and anxiety more often, and I remember my happy place. My happy place is three or four things. One of them is a room that I grew up with my grandmother and grandfather praying every day. We would sit and laugh, and they would tell me stories. I picture myself in that room, and that gives me such peace and calm. Or I picture my family together, or sometimes it's a piece of music. So I always have asked my students and residents, what is your happy place? The other ritual that I do when I'm with my residents is we always try to take a break, and we call it taking a breath, taking a pause. We find a place which is a little quiet. You know, Erlanger has got beautiful big windows facing the river. And we just say, let's take a few minutes to think about what surprised us, what inspired us, and what gave us hope. And that just brings an opportunity and an open, safe space to express our vulnerabilities. But then it also brings us back into a community. So these are some of the rituals that we try to do. Embodied in the foundation of that is a ritual of self-care in the physical needs also. So, you know, we have to make sure that our residents and ourselves are getting enough food and exercise and water. I always carry a bag with me. It's called the candy. I'm called the candy lady, but I have small pieces of candy and sometimes saltine crackers of my residents, like granola bars or chips or whatever I like also. So we just make sure that we are offering that to people, where people remember it's okay to take a little bit of a breath. They need a piece of candy or something salty. So those are the rituals. Reflection, as you see, is sort of built into this because we are taking time to reflect. But in addition to that, we have a specific time that is set up for reflection. We go to the Hunter Museum. It's a great partnership every month with the students. And we use art and theater and craft, and we unpack those difficult moments that we face in life, which are applicable to what we do clinically. Like, you know, the feeling of being a bystander, or the feeling of powerlessness, or the feeling of dealing with death and dying. And I think the relationships comes from that. You see, we build our relationships, we build our community, and I think that connection, and that's what I'm trying to promote in today's day. We may be socially isolated, we may be socially distant, but this is the time to really bring together that human interconnectedness. We're going to have a virtual Zoom get-together party with the students this afternoon, where we're just going to go, and I found this funny laughter video, so I'm going to send it to all of them. We're going to have a good laugh, and then, you know, we'll just open up the safe space to share what people have been doing. I'm isolated from all my staff and my faculty right now, so we've got a little group going where we are sending funny pictures of their children, or even that is coming, gosh, I'm so scared. So we are allowing the safety. So those are the relationships.
So you have ritual, reflection, and relationships. What do you do when things get really tough all of a sudden?
Thank you, and I think I'm feeling that a lot more these days, Ray. I go back to my touchstone, which I really have to remind myself, and it really helps me. I tell myself, when things get really hard, when things get really tough, turn to curiosity and wonder. I think about what could be my new wonder through this, and that's what made me come up with this poem the other day that I wrote, which I call A New Normal. and I've actually recorded it on my website and really shared it. And I've really received beautiful words that other people have written and which really have continued to give me hope. So turning to curiosity and wonder gives us a new way to frame things, a new lens that makes us look at the spring, which is going to come.
And where can people go online?
MuktaPandaMD.com. There is a link there, which is called Resilient Threads. And I've got different posts that I've been posting almost every other day now. It's really my own stories, and people have shared their wonderful thoughts in that too.
All right. Dr. Panda, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.